everyone. Welcome to a special edition, not of Road to Cheltenham, but Road to Aintree. Ruby Walsh and I will be focusing on particularly the Randox Grand National, but also all the main events at Aintree over the next 3 days. I'm really looking forward to this, Ruby. How about you?
Yeah. Look, it's a wonderful meeting. Obviously, it comes sort of 3 weeks after Cheltenham. We know a lot of farm lines from there, but the Grand National is unique. And I think a lot of the horses we're going to see in the Grand National, this has been their target idea and this is their big day, and rightly so. It's arguably the biggest race in the calendar, so it's great that they're targeted at.
It really is. We're going to get straight into it because we've got a lot to get through. And the logical place to start, I think, Ruby, is with last year's race, which is, of course, won memorably, history-making from Rachel Blackmore on board Minella Times.
Yeah, it is. And there's lots of horses going to try and come back and have another go, Lydia. So look, if we just play it and run it down towards the first fence, we'll try and get a handle on where a lot of those horses were early in last year's race. Huge spread across the track, as there always is. Thunder charged over the Melling Road down to the first fence. And as they get there, in the middle of your shot, Green Colours, White Cap is any second now. Right beside him, the grey is Farclad. He's possibly just behind him. Borough Saint in the pink colours. He eventually finishes fifth. He's right up there too. Back to the right of your shot a little bit in the grey, in the purple colours, is Lord of Menil. And right down the inside, going to take off almost in front, is Cloth Cap. Now there's a few more in there. Class Conti runs again. He's over on the left of your shot in the Simon Muir Isaac Sway green colours. Balco de Flo, he's well back, who finishes second for a Grand National horse in the racing club's colours, whatever way you want to describe them. I'm not sure, just the multicoloured ones back there in the middle of your shot. But the other horse that eventually finishes sixth, that's well back going to the first, is on the extreme right of your shot, is Black Lion in the black colours. He's just behind the grey horse that's going to fall. And what else do we have that ran in it?
Discorama. He would be
Discorama, yeah, sorry. He's just in front of Black Lion, actually, in the white cap. He gets us into a good position quick enough. But there's three. Black Lion, Discorama, Balco de Flo are the three that finish in the first seven or eight that are well back going to the first fence.
And it's interesting. Black Lion has been racing much more prominently this season and it seems to be in better form. So I wonder whether they might ride him differently this time around. But if we move through the race, what would you then pick out?
Well, you roll on from the first, but you get to the third fence, you see Clot Cap, Yala, Inky, Jet going on. But those that were up there with them at the first, any second now, Boris Saint, they're starting to just ease back a little bit. And they're taking off the horses in front. And at the fourth fence, we're going to lose one of the fancies, the previous year's runner-up, Magical Light. Now, when you get to Beechers, people say, which side do you go? Look right down the inside. Clot Cap, Manila Times, any second now. They're hugging the paint. Tom Screw, Rachel Blackmore, Mark Walsh. That drop in Beechers is gone. And you probably need to be down there now to get yourself at the right angle to the Fine Haven and the Canal Turn. To be on the inside, you can't drift out wide anymore. You get to the 10th fence, any second now makes a mistake down the inside. He seems to just catch the burst that's flying up in front of him. But at the 12th fence, it's one of the big incidents in last year's Grand National. And you're looking at the blue colours in the middle of your shot. The horse is going to, Tom George's is going to fall with Johnny Burke. Yeah, double shuffle. And it's, which side, which way does he go? He falls left in front of any second now, who completely loses his position, and Manila Times gets by. That's the luck you need to win a Grand National, and that's the bad luck that can cost you a Grand National. That's just the way it is. But then they get up to the chair. Manila Times and Borough Saint are sitting fourth and fifth. Any second now, well, he's dropped back beside Balco de Flo, right back into the second third of the pack. But Black Lion, who we saw at the first fence right out the back, has made his way into mid division without having to do too much work. They head out in the second circuit. Manila Times, Borough Saint, Discorama, Far Class at the first fence. They're all clumped together. And it's this clump of horses that starts to really come to the fore. Balco de Flo has gotten us into a position. But watch them away from the second fence and the second circuit. Put your eyes in Clot Cap. Tom Scudamore's already given the distress signals that this horse is not going as well as he'd liked. His hands are moving and there's no immediate respect. When they get down to Beechers, if you ignore Jet in front and just look at the next cohort of horses, it's telling how that bunch of horses are going to be the ones that finish together. And when they get to the Canal Turn, the first 11 horses jump the Canal Turn. The horse of Henry's, Chris's Dream, is going to unseat, and Clot Cap is going to pull up on the way home. But the other nine are the first nine home. So I don't know, is that a sign that if you're not with them by Beechers heading the Canal Turn in the second circuit, you're not going to get involved in the race? Valentine's Brook, it's all over for Clot Cap. He's starting to struggle. Fourth last, Chris's Dream, who was travelling well, he starts to unseat. as they cross the Menning Road. You can see Jet's stride is short and he's running on fumes. He's only getting in the way. But it's take your pick then. Manila Times, Borough Saint, Balco de Flow. Which one do you want to be on? Any second now is creeping in behind them. But when they get up to the second last, jumping and land, how quickly Borough Saint stops. Manila Times and Balco de Flow and any second now, I wouldn't say that they quicken, but Borough Saint just seems to stop and he has no chance by the time he gets to the last. Now, Manila Times possibly does quicken a little bit. Any second now, to be fair to him, battles it out with Balco de Flow. The winner was a good winner, but there's a couple of horses in there that have to leave last year behind if they're going to factor this year. And that's definitely Clock Cap and definitely Borough Saint. They're the two that cut out.
Yeah.
And Discorama. Now, Discorama probably had the worst preparation.
Clock Cap has since had a breathing operation, hasn't he? And they felt that that was the problem at the end of last year. That's what was reported. And I think you've highlighted, I think any second now was the real hard luck story of the race.
It was, but that's Grand Nationals, isn't it? And look, just because you were unlucky last year doesn't mean you're going to be lucky this year. You know, he's obviously higher in the weights as well, which, look, I know my dad is really happy with him when he's in great form, and he was unlucky last year. But you can often feel that your chance slipped by too.
Yeah, another year on, absolutely. We will talk about him and all the others in more detail in a moment. Let's just reflect on the fact that Ireland provided the first five home last year and 12 of the 15 finishes. Are you seeing it something similar this time around?
Probably not as dominant. I think there's a couple of British horses that could run big races. And look, the Cheltenham Festival wasn't the same one-sided affair. Do I see the Grand National being the same one-sided affair? Probably not. I think in all likelihood there would be an Irish winner, but I do expect a couple of British horses to get involved.
I think it's a deeper race this time round. I'd be interested to get your view on this. If we take a look at the betting, at the moment we've got Any Second Now and Delta Work locked together at 8-1, along with Snow Leopardess as well, the grey mare, Ascaria 10 at 10s, and 12-1 and upwards the rest. I felt that there were fewer horses that I could straight out put a line straight through this time round compared to last year.
Yeah, there probably is. And I think when you get to a Grand National, you kind of be hoping you'd be well down the betting in a modern Grand National before you put a line through anything. But look, when you look at that graphic in front of you, you'd be a brave person to say any one of those won't win.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
I agree. Let's talk about what a typical Grand National is these days, since the fences have been modified and the race is slightly shorter. There are still some similarities to previously, but there are also some changes. So if we have a look at this, the key points in a typical renewal: get safely over the first three, and really the hardest of those is the first, isn't it?
It kind of always was, isn't it? And that's just speed. Now, they have brought the start forward to try and counteract that, but still, there has to be some element of lottery to the Grand National. So, yeah, but that's a good start. So you can steady your horse back the last five strides to the first fence rather than have to chase them in there. So, yeah, first, second, third, it is a bit different. And I think you sent it on to me, but Simon Rowland's...
on his At the Races column. Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, it is. But I think there's a lot of facts in there that racing should be proud of. How the race has evolved, it's still be competitive, yet it's still a difficult race. I thought factually it was a really good read, and there were plenty of facts in there that people could be using to promote the race. I thought it was a really good read, great work. But yeah, and it does show that whilst some things have changed, not everything has changed.
The ability to travel and hold a handy position is paramount, and that remains paramount, even though the field doesn't thin out as much as it used to by the second circuit.
No, and I think that has to do with the runouts and the catchment areas for loose horses as much as it does the change in the fences. You don't, when you watch the North Grand National, as many runners as were in the race, there was as many loose ones going with them. The loose ones have been taken out, and now jockeys don't have to second guess loose horses around them. Therefore, they don't have to slow down, pull back, change direction, and loose horses aren't getting in the way. I think that's a huge thing that has changed the race. And I think that's why the pace is probably more consistent all the way. And if you're not near the front, it's harder to catch up.
And also it's a higher standard of horse in general, the median standard of horse taking part. I think that has also got something to do with it as well, if you compare it back to... I mean, I'm obviously there were great horses that contested the Grand National. I'm talking about the depth of a race.
Yeah, there is. It is a very... They are strong renewals now, the Grand Nationals. And look, Airdrie's a flat track, but when you had loose horses, the ones in front had to slow down. So if you're at the back, you had could make up cheap ground. Now, if you're at the back, the ones in front aren't slowing down. So you have to go and catch them, and it becomes difficult.
Okay, let's have a look at the run styles, or the typical run styles of the horses that we're going to see racing this year. And obviously things can be switched up all the time, but this was how we were seeing it. So we had all of those horses there in the front rank. I want to mention Eclair Surf at this point, because of course at the moment the Warwick Classic winner and the second in the Ida Chase has the status of reserve. If he were to get in, he'd have a strong chance.
He would have a strong chance, and his run style would suit the race if he gets in.
Chasing the pace, we've got those horses there, including last year's winner, including Delta Work as well, and any second now, because he got shuffled back from that kind of position last time with the unfortunate incident that you mentioned from last year. In that group, we've got Santini. Now, they'll be wanting to chase the pace if they can with Santini. Do you think he'll be able to hold his position?
I'm not convinced, but I can see him crossing the Mellon Road after 100 yards, sort of handily. Where he ends up by the third fence, that could be a different story. That'll depend how he attacks the first three fences as well. But no, and he becomes a difficult ride for whoever does ride him, because you don't want to lose your position. But if you push a horse too early, it just won't keep going. So I always found I give up riding slow horses in the Grand National, because you couldn't, even though they were absolute certainties to stay, you couldn't hold a position on them. Yeah. And therefore you were never in the right place. So I went for the speedier types. A couple didn't get home, but that was my choice on it. And look, while Santini will stay forever, I know Neptune Collange came from a long way back, but it's not easy to do that.
Yeah, I think these front rank and chasing pace horses are the ones to really be focusing on. But let's have a look at the horses that might be a little bit further back. Mid division. Now, Death Duty, he gets into the race, or has got into the race, because stable companion Battle Over Doyen, who was in the weights proper, is now heading for the Topham. Death Duty is actually quite unexposed as a marathon chaser.
He is quite unexposed as a marathon chaser. He was a very good novice hurdler, novice chaser, lost his way, he's come back to form. He gets in at the bottom. I think the one that we might have in the wrong place there, Lydia, is Enjoy Dallin. I just thought from watching him in last year's Irish Grand National, he didn't quite hold the same position in the Paddy Power easily, but he did in the Irish National. And I could see Enjoy Dallin much closer to the pace.
Okay, all right. And we've also got Fortescue there in mid-ish division. He might be a little bit closer to the pace as well. He also is a reserve. He seems to be in fine form. Again, he's totally unexposed as a marathon chaser.
That's the fine line, isn't it? Risk and reward. You're unexposed, but do you get in?
Yeah.
It's the way you want to sneak in, but you have to get in.
And then right out the back, we've got all of those. And Annabelle Fly is there, and he was out the back and struggling pretty quickly in last year's race. And we've also got another one of the reserves there, Domaine Delisle, who again has got the kind of run style that doesn't really suit this race. All of those really patiently ridden horses.
They are, but it would be a change of tactics for I could see Noble Yates trying to change tactics.
Right.
Don't think Sam likes to be too far back around the Grand National fences. He made the run on Jet last year.
Okay. I'll take that point as well. Right, before we get into this horse by horse, let's have a look at what you're talking about. Racing TV, our social media team, asked the question, does the defeat of Tiger Roll at Cheltenham make Delta Work the deserved favourite? And these are some of your answers in reply. Kieran Andrew has some of the things that he would like us to remember. Will Delta stay the extra half mile? He's got 3 years on Tiger. Younger Tiger would have slammed Delta Work on the bridle. Tom Champagne won't have that. And Delta Work is a five-time Grade One winner, he protests. And Mark Edmo is talking about Tiger Roll and the ground there. He thinks that when they encountered each other at Cheltenham, and he thinks that Delta Work has got too much weight and isn't up to it. And David Foley has raised the O'Leary debate. If the O'Learys are right about Tiger Roll's handicap, Mark, he couldn't possibly win it, according to them. Then neither can Delta Work, considering how closely matched they were. I'm not sure I would be basing my view on Delta Work on that.
It's all debate. That's what the Grand National should be. It's all opinion, and probably got quite heated listening to those things, but sure. It's great that kind of discussion is creating.
It's not like he was placed in a Gold Cup, was the argument, but we know a horse who did, and Santini Has sparked quite a bit of debate. Again, they're talking about Delta work, but Seamus Fallon wants Richard Munsoe to remember that Santini did place in the Gold Cup, and Richard thinks he's not without an each-way chance. Well, we've just said we're just a little bit worried about whether he's going to hold that position. So that's what you were saying. Let's get into what Ruby thinks. So again, the obvious place to start, Ruby, is with last year's winner, Manila Times, who is not in the same kind of form, surely.
No, and he has to deal with the hike and the handicap as well, Lydia. He's going to be number one in this year's Grand National. Top weight, look, that's the price of success, I suppose. But he's just not, doesn't seem to be in the same form. A couple of runs this year. Second run was in the Leopardstown Chase. He ran a cracking race in this race last year. Mm-hmm. This year, never got competitive. By the sixth fence, he makes a slight mistake, faces into the back straight. He gets hampered by a faller, but he's at the back of your shot and you can barely see him getting hampered. And as the camera switches, you can see he's completely tailed off. That was his first run after a heavy fall in the John Durkin. Now, he was tailed off behind Asturian Falange, Alaho. Asturian Falange falls as the third last. Manila Times, coming at the back of your shot, took a really heavy fall. Thankfully, both he and Derek O'Connor got up, and neither were any the worse for it. But he doesn't seem to be coming here with the same profile that he had last year.
No, and you're counting on him bouncing back for a more suitable task, aren't you?
And the entry factor working a hundredfold.
Yeah, okay. So that's Manila Times, the reigning champion. If we move on to Any Second Now, who we said already described how we both felt that he was quite unlucky, at least not to be second last year and possibly pressing the winner. Let's have a look at the Bobby Joe Chase. This features four horses who are going to reoppose here.
And it only featured four horses. There was four runners all going to the Grand National. Obviously, just the races run just after the weights are out. So in Any Second Now, Ascari at 10, Cocoa Beach in the Jigginstown colours and Borough Saint in the Rich and Susanna Ritchie colours. And four of them lined up together, went to the first, and they all jumped pretty soundly. But it's across to the third last fence when it gets interesting. Ascari at 10 jumps to the front, and Any Second Now looks to be struggling. But again, we see Borough Saint falling. He goes from travelling a three out to having no chance off the bend to the second last. Brilliant jump from Ascari at 10, and he looks to have the measure of Any Second Now. But he starts to quicken wide of Ascari at 10 on the long run from three out to two out, gets to Ascari at 10 going to the last. But Ascari at 10 again out jumps Boros or Any Second Now at the last, and then Any Second Now rallies in the last 50 yards to nod him on the line. Now, Any Second Now is a pound better off for beating Ascari at 10 by a nose. Maybe Ascari at 10 got a little lonely in front, but I'd say they are two big runners, whereas the two behind, Cocoa Beach and Borough Saint, for me, have a lot to prove on that run.
Yeah, I'm not convinced by either of their stamina for the task, and I tend to agree with you, the two up front. I mean, I thought it was a real good battle between the two of them, and Any Second Now has been given that similar target preparation by your dad for this race. Let's move on to Ascari at 10. And what he achieved as a novice. He ran third in the National Hunt Chase at last year's Cheltenham Festival. Now, Snow Leopardess was in that race as well. She finished a long way behind in fourth, and we'll talk about her in more detail in a moment. But this is a horse, Ascari at 10, who always shaped like he was going to blossom, I thought, as a marathon chaser.
Yeah, and he's had a really good prep for this race, Lydia, this year, running the Siestas as well as the Bobby Joe. But you see him here in the National Hunt Chase of 2021, the third last. Remastered next destination, Ascari at 10's on the outside, Galvin is in the pocket, and Snow Leopardess probably gets a little boxed in from the third last down to the bend as the race starts to quicken, but she doesn't have the gears to go with them either. And at the second last, Ascari at 10 quickens to just lead on the outside of next destination. Galvin gets a run over on the inside. They jump the last three pretty much together. Maybe Ascari at 10 just in front of Galvin with next destination in the middle, but Galvin has the pace to quicken and go and win that race. Next destination chases him home. You wouldn't think Ascari at 10 stopped. There's no way he stopped. He just didn't quicken up. But you can see the difference in the speed that Snow Leopardess didn't possess. And she comes on behind him to finish fourth. But look, can you see them turning around bigger fences? I don't know. I think Ascari at 10 could just have too much pace for Snow Leopardess.
Yeah, I think he's got the right kind of run style. I think he's been targeted the race. I like him a lot. Snow Leopardess is a fantastic horse. Let's have a look at her win in the Beecher Chase. But that is a lot of ground that she's got to make up on Ascari at 10. There were others in behind. Domaine Delisle, who's a reserve at the time of talking. He eventually claws his way into fourth. And Tocqueville Ben and Lord de Menil both take part, but the former falls and the latter pulls up.
Yeah, and it was this was key to Snow Leopardess. She had the pace on really testing ground in the Beecher Chase to hold a really good position from the start, first fence, second fence, and by the third, she's in a really commanding or a really good position under Aidan Coleman in the Beecher Chase. She leads them at the chair with Topville Ben and Lord Menil beside her. They head out into the country. At the 12 fence, Topville Ben takes a pretty heavy fall, but Snow Leopardess is absolutely loving it. Watch her at Beechers, pings Beechers, round the corner to Fine Avon, gives Dad a foot again. And then if you watch her at the couple of fences after Valentine's, the next two, when Aidan Coleman spots a stride and goes forward with her, the mare actually lengthens and ends up putting herself spot on. She's going at these fences. She really enjoyed herself. And crossing the Melling Road, she's miles clear. Now, testing ground, winter time at Liverpool is a much different to the spring. And she gets lonely. And going to the second last fence, you're thinking, well, she's going to get chinned. But she gets herself over the second last, gets running again to the last fence, pops that, and then digs really deep. She has a will to win. She kept going. She hangs on by a nose. But much different ground in a much more competitive race, or definitely a more competitive race, will she be able to hold the prominent position that she held that day and get a sight of these jumps and attack them? That's the big if, I think, for Snow Leopardess. If it lashes rain Wednesday, Thursday into Friday, it gives her a better chance.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It relies on that, her gutsiness at the fences, doesn't it, essentially? I mean, just the fact that she seemed to enjoy the task so much, and so many horses won't enjoy it as much as her.
No, she looked, and it's even if the telling part was the two fences after Valentine's, when Aidan Coleman thought there was a long stride, actually when he squeezed her to go, the mare lengthened herself and put herself nearly on the takeoff board. She wants to go and jump. She wants to get there, and she must be a pleasure to ride.
Yeah, she was a joy to watch, certainly.
She was, yeah.
Let's move on to Run Wild Fred. He encountered Farclar in the Troitan. Now, this is quite interesting. They're both quite interesting, I think.
Yeah, look, we picked out a fair bit of Farclar in last year's Grand National, and we weren't going to go into the Troitan in more detail, but actually we've stuck in the Irish National for you as a better trial. But I think the start of the Troitan is still key for Run Wild Fred. Big field handicap, spread across the track in Navan, downhill start. He's in the blue cap of Jiggins Town's middlier picture, but it's closer to get to the fence, the faster Run Wild Fred wants to go. He absolutely flies the first and lands in front for Davy Russell. So if you're looking for a horse that can travel handily and hold a position, I think there's one. He has the ability to do that and will put himself in a good position. But I think we can look at him more in the Irish National in a few minutes.
We can. I just want to mention about Farclar. Last year, he was a seven-year-old. That was quite young in which to finish fifth. I think he might do better. I know he's a little bit higher in the weights, but I think he might do better this year. And I've also argued it's a deeper addition, but I think he could run well, essentially.
I wouldn't disagree with you. Former Triumph Hurdle winner, ran in all the big handicaps last season, kept banging on the door, and ran a blinder in last year's Grand National. I wouldn't be ruling him out anyway.
Okay. Right, so you mentioned the Irish Grand National. I think this is a real, really key form line. Freewheeling Dylan won it. Run Wild Fred was second. And Joy Delaine was third. Then we've got Cocoa Beach, Court Maid, Augusta Gold and Brahma Bull and also Ascaria 10 in the race. Now, he pulled up. I reckon that run, this race probably came a bit quickly after the National Hunt Chase last season.
Yeah, I think it did. I think that's the only poor run Ascaria 10 has. And for that reason, exactly as you said it, I'm going to ignore him in this race as such. But I just think it was the end of the season for him. But look, big field Irish Grand National. And that's experience that counts to horses going to entry, having run in races like this. But as they get up to the first fence, Freewheeling Dylan's in front. Enjoy Dallin is in the yellow cap, white sleeves. He'll have different colours in entry. He's now in the JP McManus colours. He wasn't on this occasion. He's just on the inside. Run Wild Fred is handy towards the outside. So is Cocoa Beach. Augusta Gold got a much better position than I remember her having in that race. She's on the very inside for Paul Townend and Bram Bull. There's plenty of them in here. But it was Run Wild Fred, Freewheeling Dylan, Cocoa Beach, Enjoy Dallin. To me, that were the ones that were able to hold the best position early in the race. They had the pace to do that. And when we swing as they face towards the sixth last fence, the camera jumps onto a drone shot and you can see Freewheeling Dylan in front. Cocoa Beach is just behind him, outside him. Run Wild Fred is just outside that. In the pocket behind Freewheeling Dylan to the right of the shot is Enjoy Dallin. And just behind him is Brahma Bull. And Augusta Gold is sort of mid-division back on the left. Now, that there it's that pyramid shape or triangular shape that shows you the pace of Run Wild Fred, Enjoy Dallin, Freewheel and Dylan. They'll all be able to hold a good position, or should be able to hold a good position in the Grand National. But when they get around to the second last, it wasn't a strongly run race. Freewheel and Dylan is still in front. Run Wild Fred looks to be travelling the best. But Freewheel and Dylan seems to outstay him. And having been sort of tempted maybe to have a look at Run Wild Fred at 25-1, that last furlong and a half in Fairy House put a slight doubt in my mind.
Yeah, okay. I think that's fair. I think they're players, Freewheeling, Fred, and Enjoy Dallin. I quite liked Enjoy Dallin. I thought that he might run well, and he's just a very consistent horse, I think. And with Augusta Gold, you've got to go back to that one run when second in the Punchestown Grand National trial, which suggested she might be very good over marathon trips, but her jumping's falling apart.
Yeah, and we'll show her in the test days in a minute behind Longhouse Poet. But yeah, she seems to have regressed. She does look to be in good enough form at home. But again, I think she's a bit like Snow Leopardess. She could be doing her end dance.
You called for the feisties. Let's have a look at that. Longhouse Poet won.
Yeah, look, another very interesting horse. Was a really decent novice hurdler who eventually found his way over fences. He's on the wide outside, but he's able to go forward to hold a position under Darragh O'Keefe in a short run to the first in Thiestes. Behind him is Augusta Gold. First time blinkers. She just seems to get too high over jump, skids, stands up, and Danny Mullins pulls her up. Now, when they get back to that fence in the second circuit, you can see how easily Longhouse Poet is holding a decent position in fourth place. Even though he's a stayer, he has the pace as well to be where you want a horse to be. Down to the third last fence, he's travelling as well as anything. Iscariot 10 is coming into the shot as well. That was the first good run from Iscariot 10 this season as well.
Yeah, he made quite a significant error at the first, didn't he, Iscariot 10?
He did. Which wouldn't be like him, because he jumped brilliantly into Bobby Joe. He had Franco Deport on the outside. And when Franco Deport quickens at the second last to go and beat Longhouse Poet, Longhouse Poet matches him with a little bit of boot, pings the last, and then out-battles Franco Deport to the line. Martin Brazel has won the race in the past with number 6 Valverde, who was also a Thiestes winner. You know, they're coming on similar-ish lines. He liked the drying ground, Longhouse Poet. And yeah, I can see why a lot of people fancy him.
I fancy him. I like this horse, and I thought this run was really significant. His run style is going to suit the race as well. Okay, so that's the Thiestes. Sorry, I think I mispronounced it earlier. Let's talk about the cross-country race next, and this is Delta Work, which was back to the horse that we were asking you those questions about online. There are three other horses as well that are in the backwash here. Poker Party, Easy's Land, both pulled up, and Brahma Bull unseated. Delta Work, of course, was the villain of the piece, stopping Tiger Roll having a winning swan song.
Yeah, look, he's dropped towards the back wide. Now, that is the way Delta Work is predominantly ridden, which is wide. And I'm not sure in the new entry, is that a great position to be either. Now, Balco de Flow came from that position to be second last year, so he can run a big race, but ultimately he didn't win. So Delta Work, fourth, second fence, he looks to be in a good rhythm. And at the fourth, which is an entry-type fence, you see he brushes the top off them. So you're not thinking he's going to spend too much time in the air or go too high. At the 14th fence, obviously because of the rain, the camera work's not great here, folks, on the Wednesday of the Cheltenham Festival. But as he jumps the water and passes up by you, he is travelling really, really well and goes in and out of the cheese wedges beside Tiger Roll and comes out beside him. So we're assuming he jumped them fine. The 24th fence, it looks like he goes quite high at that one, which will be, you don't really want to do an entry. At the 23rd fence, he flicks over that again. And he is travelling well. But if you watch him at the 28th, the 29th and 30th, and just watch him in relation to Tiger Roll, as the two of them quicken across the middle of the track, Delta Work doesn't lose any ground on Tiger Roll. And we know Tiger Roll is a brilliant Grand National horse, a really slick, fast jumper. And Tiger Roll, or Delta Work, was holding his ground with Tiger Roll. That, to me, was a really good sign for him. And then, obviously, jumps the last and quickens to beat Tiger Roll and becomes famous. Or even more famous, sorry. And does he have a big chance? He does. It's just, this will be run at a faster pace. He likes a bit of room early in the race. I think you'll know your fate with Delta Work by Beecher's first time.
I think they're going to have to change that run style. I think they possibly can as well. I think he's a scruffy jumper of a conventional fence, and so therefore he needed to see a good sight of them. you can go through a lot more a national fence, can't you? So I think that they possibly can switch it up.
He can, but you have to convince him he can go through.
True.
I hope he doesn't spend too much time jumping over before he realises he can go through. You can't just tell him that, blow it to start, by the way, just get over the orange bar and you'll be fine. Won't quite understand that.
Right, let's move on to Mount Ida. Gordon Elliott is going to have to work some magic on her because she does like to jump out to her right. Now, on the wire with Johnny Ward, Gordon did say that they're going to try some headgear on her. I think cheek pieces to try and help her to jump a bit straighter.
Yeah, look, she does have a tendency to jump to her right. We saw it in last year's Kim Muir and we saw it in this year's Mrs. Paddy Powerchase. Now, the only thing about Mount Ida is, at any stage, you think she's going to win last year's Kim Muir? I most certainly didn't. I thought at the top of the hill, I was wondering why Jack Kennedy was even continuing to go in the race. But when he did get her to switch on, she won from an impossible position and won well. So if the cheek pieces turn her on, and you never know, she could. She's not my choice of the winner, but she'd be one of those horses when they go by the line that I won't be thinking, where did that come from? Because yeah. I know.
Yeah, she was, and this was her target, wasn't it? They got tempted away by the Mrs. Paddy Powerchase because she'd been in such fine form this season.
Yeah.
But this has been the long-standing target. It's just that run style and the jumping right. I hope Dennis O'Regan has packed his wetsuit for the canal turn. Fiddler on the Roof next. Let's talk about him running in the Ladbrokes Trophy because this was a really excellent run.
Yeah, and I like this horse. I think he's got a big chance and I love the start of this race when the tape flies back in Newbury, how easily Fiddler on the Roof And the Ladbrokes Trophy is a competitive race early. How easy Fiddler on the Roof finds it to go to the first fence and to the second fence. He has absolutely no problem holding a good position. And I think that'll be a big help to him. Obviously, when we play it round to the fourth last fence, he's coming with his challenge, Remastered falls, and he has to sidestep him and loses a little bit of momentum. But I'd like the way then that he keeps chasing Cloudy Glenn all the way down the straight. And he's closest to him at the winning post. You could argue his mark has been minded since. And fair play to him if they have. I think there's only one Grand National. And I think Fiddler on the Roof is a massive runner.
What did you think about his run against Fortescue at Ascot? Now, this was quite a well-run race. And maybe he pressed on too soon. But Fortescue seemed to outstay him, to my eye. How about you?
I don't believe Ascot was his target. Right. I think he wanted a race. He wanted a run. He's coming here with 3 runs under his belt this season, which is the minimum required, I think, to win a Grand National. And they got a real race into him the last time, and he could be all the better for it.
Okay, fair enough. Let's talk about Kildasar. And I think I like this horse a little bit more than you, or can frame a case for him at a big price.
Frame it, sir.
This is his run, his comeback run after an absence. But if you go back to his form at the Cheltenham Festival, he's finished placed in an Ultima. He's also won a staying handicap chase on the Mild May Angel course at this meeting previously. I just think he's unexposed as a stayer. I think he shapes as though he'll improve for a step up in trip. The question is, does he retain that ability after a setback? And I thought there were signs in this run here that he maybe does.
Yeah, look, he does. He was towards the rear early on. Cross fence, second time round, he still has a lot to do. Makes a mistake at the second last, just a clumsy mistake more than anything. But then eventually runs on to finish fourth. The one worry I have is only one run in the season leading up to the Grand National. And I think with the fitness required to win a Grand National, you do seem to need more mileage in the tank.
Okay, well, you're going to hold this against the next horse we talk about as well.
Yeah.
That's the Rasher Counter, who's a past Ladbrokes Trophy winner, but has only had the one run so far this season. It was a promising one, though, in the Denman.
It was, and a good race. Obviously, you have Clan de Zobo, Royal Pagai, and El Dorado Allen, competitive race, lined up last of the four. But when they get back to the fourth last, he's still with them. And when he gets to the third last, he's just outside Clan de Zobo. And when he gets to the second last, he's starting to get a bit tired. But that was a perfectly good first run for any horse in any season. But again, he's just one run this season and the stats are against him.
Okay, so the last horse we're going to look at in great detail is Dingo Dollar, who we know should stay because he was second in the Scottish Grand National last season.
He was second in last year's Scottish Grand National. Behind him is Mr. Fog Patches. He will stay. But which one of us is making a case for the England honour?
No, well, I was quite sharing this to sort of count him out in many ways, really, because although I can see him staying and he's got usually would have the kind of run style that would be suitable for this race. If we have a look at the Grand Sefton, I don't think he enjoyed attacking these fences as much as he enjoys attacking a conventional fence.
No, and he was careful in the Grand Sefton. He's a runner, and who knows? Grand Sefton, testing ground, Grand National, better ground, Scottish National, good ground. Maybe he needs the ground to jump, and we're looking too much at it. Maybe he just couldn't get out of the soft ground, but he wouldn't be top of my list.
Okay, well, let's find out what is top of your list, because it's time to give the 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you want to do it in reverse order, excitingly? Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
I think you better go first, because I can't remember what I put in my four.
Okay, all right then. I'll fill while you find your 1, 2, 3, 4. Right, so I've got fourth, Kildisar. Third, again, any second now. Second, Discaria 10. And the winner is, according to me, Longhouse Poet. How about you?
We agree on some of the horses anyway. Maybe not in their positions. I think in fourth, Longhouse Poet. No, Delta Work, sorry. In third, Fiddler on the Roof. I think Longhouse Poet could be second, but blood is thicker than water. Any second now is going to win. That's my hope.
Well, let's hope it's a exciting race where it never fails to be. Those are our thoughts about the National. So that was the National, but there's some great graded action and some fantastic handicaps over the 3 days at Aintree. We're going to focus on the graded races, and we'll start on the Thursday, Ruby, with the Betway Bowl. This staying chase looks like an absolute cracker. We're going to start with Clander's Oboe. People are split on this horse, I think, whether he's a back number or whether these first-time blinkers will work as the first-time cheek pieces did 12 months ago.
Yeah, and look, the horse that ran here last year, Lydia, in that kind of form has a massive chance. He lined up ridden pretty prominently just behind the leaders. He jumped really well in the first time cheek pieces. After a circuit and a bit, Mr. Fisher himself were to the fore. Mr. Fisher unseated the rider and left him in front, and he just jumped these rivals into submission. Clondalk Castle got onto his tail going to the third last, but as Harry Cobb then increased it with a good jump two out and away from two out, it became a one horse race. It was a really good run. But then this year, similar headgear, lines up at Newbury, similar tactics, never got in control of the race. Fourth last fence he put down, the Rasher counter is just behind him, Royal Pagoy and Eldorado Allen quicking away. And by the time he gets to the third last fence, he looks lethargic and he runs up 10 lengths behind Royal Pagoy. I don't think the Newbury horse wins. Last year's Bowl horse has a massive chance, but he's a year older. Is he just on the wane? I don't know.
Possibly. I mean, I think it's just one bad run, because it was a really quickly run King George. We talked about that during the Road to Cheltenham series, and he pressed on a long way out. I thought that's a much better run than it reads literally.
Possibly. We did talk about it, but I didn't really think Clander's Oboe did a massive amount wrong in the King George in relation to Hysteria for Lange. He was never that far in front of him. I think Tornado Flyer did come from a good bit back, but Hysteria and Clander's Oboe weren't too far away from each other. I just worry about the form of the King George.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to Kenboy then and talk about what he is now.
That's a good question. I mean, his last run is disappointing behind Conflated. If you go back two runs to Leopardstown, you see him here jumping the last fence. There's Galvin and the Gold Cup winner at Plutar beside him, and he just gets run out of it. A reproduction of that, yeah, that would give him a massive chance. But again, a bit like Clander's Oboe, which Kenboy are we going to get? Which Clander's Oboe are we going to get? It's hard to know now as they go on in times. But if you went back to his 2019 run, it's a long way. I hate going back that far back to find a performance that's persuading you a horse can win a race. But look, he has track form, I suppose, and that's all that this shows us. Handy all the way, but he does show his tendency, which you have said numerous times, Didier. He does jump right. And a good bit out to his right on this occasion. I probably had a better view of it than most people. He went to the bridle on the second last, and when he jumped the last and they gave him a kick, he scoots away to be Clander's Oboe back at the four, Bristol, the Mayan Road to respect. Great run. Pity it's 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's his career best season, isn't it? That 2018-2019 season. He's shown flashes of something similar since, but nothing quite like you. That there's too much dust on that form for me. Let's have a look at the Ryanair, shall we? Eldorado Allen versus Conflated. What do you make of each of these for this task at Aintree?
I think they're two big runners. And to be fair to Eldorado Allen, he is the one horse that went after Aloha. He at least tried to keep tabs on Aloha, jumped out, followed him. He was there to have a crack at Aloha. Now, ultimately, he wasn't good enough, but he did have a go. But down the hill from the third last, Aloha is just turning the screw and he's going away from them. Off the bend, Conflated, who had been ridden more conservatively, is coming with his challenge. But he seems to overjump the second last, crumbles and falls. And Eldorado Allen just hasn't got enough left to hold off Janadil for second. So, by way of my looking at it, they were ridden completely differently. One, but because they were ridden completely differently, I think one may have had a way harder race in Cheltenham than the other. And I wonder, will that have taken the edge off Eldorado Allen, whereas it may not have had the same impact on Conflated?
It's so hard to tell from the outside whether that is or is not the case, because if it's not the case, if Eldorado bounces perfectly happy onto Aintree, then he's run much better than that literal form. With Conflated, the other argument is those jumping frailties, that's something that has plagued him throughout his career.
It is, but I don't think he'd be going as fast as he was behind Aloha in this race. And I think coming down a gear or two would really suit him. Look, you say it's impossible to tell from the outside. It's impossible to tell from the inside. Mm. If you're working in Tizzard's or in Gordon Elliott's, it's impossible to tell in 3 weeks since Cheltenham how these horses are. They'll be eaten, they'll be fresh, they'll be well, but you freshen them up, it isn't part, they won't even know.
You tend to find out pretty early on in the races, don't you? Yeah. Let's talk about some other Cheltenham form. This is the Gold Cup, Protectorat and Royal Pagai, both of whom ran really well.
They did run really well. And look, the Gold Cup, it wasn't an end-to-end gallop, but they did quicken nicely from a fair bit out. And down to the third last, look, you've Manila Indo, Asturian Fallon, Jabun Floto, Plutar in behind them. Protectorat's making his challenge. Royal Pagai have been up there all the way. Second last, you know, the two of them are just behind Manila Indo or around Manila Indo. Or Manila Indo's gone and Plutar's going to challenge him. Protectorat makes a bad mistake at the last and still manages to hold off Royal Pagai. It depends. Protectorat's only a seven-year-old as well. Mm. It's how much mark that race would have left on him or on Royal Pagai. I rode horses that were beaten in Gold Cups that went to Aintree and got beaten again. Mm. So it can be a hard race to come out of the Gold Cup if you're as competitive as Protectorat and Royal Pagai were. It can be hard to go to Aintree and be competitive.
Who are you favouring in the end? It's a tricky race. It's really intriguing.
Yeah, it is really, really tricky. I'm probably favouring Conflated.
Okay. I think I'm probably favouring Eldorado Allen, but I think it's tricky and I want to go back and revisit my thinking. We asked you about this race as well. Our social poll was Blinkers Go on Clan des Oboes for the first time in the Betway Bowl. Who do you fancy and why? Is it Clan des Oboes, Protectorat, Kenboy or another? And these are your views. Jonathan Pack has got a completely comprehensive view of the race. He thinks Protectorat will win, as does Steve Cookson and Paul Milner. But Liam Dallison is into Conflated. Everything bar Protectorat would have something to prove, and he'd have finished a long way in front of Eldorado at Cheltenham if he didn't fall. I think that's because of the way they were ridden. John Mader likes Conflated as well. Michael Hall is worried about both Clan des Oboes and Kenboy's age, which I think we were talking about as well. Danny is talking about Eldorado Allen. He stuffed Clan des Oboes at Newbury and ran a belter at Cheltenham. He's a huge player. Giants Causeway is talking about Eldorado Allen as well. The sharp track should alleviate staying concerns. Giants Causeway, see me after class, please. And finally, Tommy Vachetti says, Royal Pagai, he's a horse I love and I can't see him out of the first three. Well, it's good to see that everybody who's watching is as indecisive and completely baffled by this race as we are. Right, we need to move on. We need to move on to the Aintree Hurdle. This is going to be a corker as well. And the obvious place to start, Ruby, I think, is this year's Champion Hurdle.
I was hoping you were going to say that. I think it is too. Look, top of the hill, four out. Epatant, Zanahir, Glory and Fortune. Well, Zanahir obviously is in front. Epatant is following Honeysuckle. Glory and Fortune is following them. And when this race starts to quicken down to three out, it wasn't run at a frantic pace, the champion hurdle. Epitant is finding the quickening the easiest. Santa here gets caught a little bit maybe for gears. Honeysuckle pings a second last, scoots off the brand. Epitant goes to follow her through. But I think Epitant makes quite a significant mistake at the last hurdle. She gets it wrong and seems to land on her own feet and almost trip herself up. And I think she does really well from that mistake to hold off Santa here and take second place in the champion hurdle behind Honeysuckle. I understand the argument. Going up in trip will really suit Santa here. Of course it will. But I actually think, as an 8-year-old, going up in trip could well suit Epitant as well. She won over a mile and a half as a 3-year-old. I don't think there's any reason why she won't stay. And I'm with Epitant here.
I think it's going to be interesting between the two of them. I think the cheek pieces helped Zana here last time, but the steadily run race wouldn't. Going up in trip, I think it's going to be a fascinating battle between the two. Let's have a look at last year's Aintree Hurdle form. It features Bouvardaire, Brewing Up a Storm and McFabulous. The last two are both going to be wearing cheek pieces for the first time tomorrow.
Yeah, they are. And I think they need to improve. I think, all right, last year you had Abacadabra and Buzz, who went on to win the Cesarewitch, but I think Epitant and Zana here bring a stronger level of form to this race than there was in last year's race. Bouvardaire is on the right here shot. He eventually finishes fourth. Brewing Up a Storm will finish fifth, and McFabulous fades to finish eighth. But Bowes, Miller's Bank, Abacadabra's Silver Streak and Not So Sleepy, I think this year's race is a better race. And I think those three horses, Bouvardaire, Brewing Up a Storm, McFabulous, all have to improve from last year to get involved in this year's one. And I'm not sure the cheap pieces are going to be enough.
So the last bit of form I'm going to throw at you is Monmira. And this is Monmira in his best light, which is at the end this time last year when he won the 4-year-old hurdle at this meeting by a wide margin.
Well, I don't think anybody could have foreseen the season that Monmira has had. I think last year he arguably looked the best juvenile in training, and he hasn't brought that track to the form this year. He turned in here tracking 5-20, stalked or followed him up to the second last with a Daggio stalking Monmira. Now, both jumped the second last well. Tom Scudamore switches out from behind Mon Morale to have a go at him going to the last hurdle. Adagio makes a mistake, but Mon Morale pulled right away then and won quite impressively. The trip might suit him. He's been targeted at the race, but you still can't get away from two pretty disappointing runs at Newcastle on Fontwell on his two starts this year.
Yeah, I could forgive Newcastle more than I could Fontwell, as it happens, but yeah, I still feel he's a talent. Maybe fences as he gets a bit older.
He's in that awkward year.
Difficult second album. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Next year will be much easier from 5 rides and 6. I definitely wouldn't be writing Mon Morale off, but it's just hard to stick your neck out for him this week.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Let's move on to the race that he won last year, the Deucin Anniversary 4-year-old hurdle. Two keen form lines coalescing from Cheltenham. Let's start with the Triumph.
Again, it wasn't a frantic race. We had a lot of rain Wednesday and you know, pace changed during the week. But down to the second last hurdle, Porticello is still upsides in front. Pied Piper's in the second line. Dr. Parnassus is just behind Pied Piper. Knight Salute is beside Dr. Parnassus. You know, but Vauban, Field Or, they're the ones that quicken off the bend and take this race by the scruff of the neck. Some of the others fade then, but Pied Piper goes with them. He just didn't have the speed of Vauban. And it looked like Field Or had a bit too much speed for Pied Piper. Look, Vauban was a brilliant winner, but it's, are you with the Triumph form or are you going to be with the next form, which is the Boodles Fred Winter? Only time will tell. But look, Vauban, Field Or, Icare Allen, he let that tomp. Pied Piper got in there. It's just hard to see the English horses getting involved.
You mentioned the Fred Winter. That was won by Brazil. It had some other contenders further behind. Do you think that Brazil can step up to this level now?
I think he can. And I think, well, maybe it wasn't overlooked, but we didn't talk about it. But the second hurdle in the Boodles Fred Winter, Gaelic Warrior goes right, collides with the horse beside him, who completely collides with Brazil. And Brazil loses a lot of ground as you're climbing up the hill away from the stands in Cheltenham. An awkward place to lose ground. But he gets himself back into the race. And when they get down to the second last, again, Gaelic Warrior goes right. Brazil switches inside him and comes at Gaelic Warrior. Now, Brazil was given Gaelic Warrior £8. People would argue if Gaelic Warrior jumps straight at the last, he might have won. Well, I'd say if he hadn't knocked Brazil down early in the race, it wouldn't have mattered what he did. And Brazil toughs it out. Now, you're saying Seagal weakened. and too friendly, kept going from well off the pace. But I was really taken with Brazil's attitude. It was a steadily run race, and I think, you know, a stronger run race would suit Brazil better.
Okay. Any others in the field that you think might play a part? There's that unbeaten horse of John Joe O'Neill's, Petit Tonnerre, who...
won a market racing.
Yeah, was due to run in the Fred Winter and the Boodles Fred Winter and didn't.
Yeah, look, he's a rating of 138, so he has a little bit to find, but he quite possibly could. I'm not sure how to get a handle on the market racing form. He was going to win really well and he missed the last. I think Knight Salute was disappointing in the Triumph. And I don't know much about Venetia's horse, three runs in France. I'm afraid I was struggling to read some English form, let alone French.
That's Fortinette. Okay, so that is the four-year-old hurdle. Sounds like you're with Brazil.
Just about, I think.
Okay. The day starts with the SSS Super Alloys Manifesto Novices Chase. Let's start with Pick Doherty, shall we, for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden. Winning the Pendle last time, beating Miller's Bank, who reopposes.
Yeah, and look, Miller's Bank followed Pick Doherty to the second last wheel, picked him up. And Miller's Bank switches inside Pick Doherty and has a go at him going to the last. Both horses really fly it, and Pick Doherty holds him off. I can see why Pick Doherty will uphold that form. Similar-ish track, sport dead level, obviously different direction, but plenty of jumping. But I actually like Warlord here, Lydia. Uh-huh. I thought he had the position, the pace to hold a good position in the arc. You watch him, he's able to sit there just behind the leaders. He travels strongly at the top of the hill then. He's just inside Edwardstone. But as they get down to the third last, when the race starts to quicken, Warlord didn't have the gears to go with them. And he drops back to seventh or eighth. By the time he gets off the home turn, you're thinking he's out with the washing. But to be fair to Warlord, I know Red Rookie falls, but Warlord keeps at it, gets back past Riviera Latel and finishes fourth. And I think stepping up in trip will suit Warlord.
Okay. Isn't the mare Gin on Lime dangerous with her £7 allowance?
She possibly is. And you have to go back to Cheltenham, obviously, on that famous day that it is now. Well, it was famous at the time anyway. It's all news now. Myself and My Drogo. But I thought My Drogo was coming to absolutely hammer. He falls to the second last. Gin on Lime sits down and stands up and gets back on her feet to go and win the race. It's a while since we've seen her. She's bound to be fresh. She does get £7. But I still think she has to go a bit to get up to the level of where.
Okay, I also should give a shout out to Nick Kent's runner, Earn River, who's impressed in a couple of starts over fences so far, winning at Doncaster, following up with a better performance at Wetherby. It's going to be an interesting opener, this. Who did you side with in the end?
I sided with Warlord, but I do think it is an interesting race. If you go far enough back in Earn River's form, it goes back to a point where he beat Manila Drama.
Mm-hmm. So that is the Thursday. We need to move on to the Friday. On the Friday, Ruby, I'm really looking forward to the Betway Mildmay Novices Chase because this is the matchup we all wanted, isn't it?
It is, definitely. Look, a High Senor, Long Press, a Brave Man's Game. We look at the Brown Advisory at the Cheltenham Festival. A High Senor set off in front of Long Press. By the time they'd gone a circuit, Long Press had taken on from a High Senor. High Senor missed the 14th and the third last, but you've got to love... High Senor made mistakes, not Long Press, but you've got to love Long Press from halfway up the run into the line. I think it'd be hard for a High Senor to turn that around, but then you throw Brave Man's Game into the mix. We know from the Keola Star Novice Chase that Brave Man's Game can sit in. Last time out, he had to make his own running at Newbury. First time we saw the resemblance of a mistake, maybe at the fourth last fence, and it's only a resemblance because he's such a good jumper. And he looked under pressure from Pat's Fancy for a fraction, but pinged the third last. And by the time he gets to the second last, he's back in charge. It'll be a cracking contest.
It will be. And they're in reverse roles this time around, Brave Man's Game and A High Senor. The latter beat Brave Man's Game in the Sefton last year, but came as a fresher horse. Brave Man's Game, of course, missed Cheltenham, pulled out because of the rain.
Yeah, pulled out because of the rain. And hopefully it doesn't rain too much between now and Friday.
That should be an absolute corker. The Marsh Melling Chase. Fakir Dudari is coming back to defend his title.
Yeah, and probably his to lose. Funan Blue Savola ran a cracker in the champion chase behind Edward Amin, but I'm not convinced by his form over 2.5 miles. Even though he stayed on in Cheltenham, I still hark back to the Peterborough chase for first floor Chindham.
And anything else to trouble Fakir, or do you think he's the one that sets this standard here?
Yeah, Cheltenham coming here, fresh horse. He was okay in Ascot, but yeah, I think he sets the standard.
And then on the Saturday, Ruby, we've got the Poundland Maghill Novices Chase. Is this Edwardston's to lose?
Quite possibly, but the two rivals that take him on, Gentleman to Me and Third Time Lucky, come here possibly fresher horses. Edward Stone was brilliant in the Arkle, thought Tom Cannon handled the pressure exceptionally well. Gentleman to Me will suit him. He likes to rock along. Edward Stone will probably follow Gentleman to Me, and Third Time Lucky may well sit behind to try and have a go, but form would all point to Edward Stone.
Yeah, he's got that defeat of Third Time Lucky at Sandown. Although there are reasons why they might have finished closer again, given a different way of racing Third Time Lucky. How about the rematch from the Stayers Hurdle in the JRL Group Liverpool Hurdle?
Yeah, look, much again depends on how Flooring Porter behaves himself. He was impeccable at Cheltenham. He settled really well. I know he got to control the race, but look, he backed up his win the year before in arguably as good a fashion in what looked a stronger race. Champ was fourth, Time Hill chased him home in second. Only has 2¾ lengths to make up, but it's hard to get away from Flooring Porter going left-handed, providing he's doesn't get himself too wound up. I think he'd be hard to beat.
I'm starting to think this has all been overstated. I mean, and I was one of the ones maybe overstating it, because when I saw him in the winner's enclosure afterwards with all that noise and pandemonium going on, and he was just sort of sitting there like a seaside donkey. He just wasn't interested in it at all.
That's after the rest.
I know.
And actually maybe racing away from home suits him. Maybe being there for 2 days, getting used to the environment rather than just travelling to a race course in Ireland on the day. Maybe that suits him.
Okay. Right, so that's it then for our Road to Aintree programme. Thank you, Ruby, for your thoughts. I hope you're going to enjoy the 3 days, everybody. If you want more, you can go to the www.racingtv.com/Grand National. And there you can find everything you'll need for the big race and the rest of Aintree. It includes my horse-by-horse guide for the Grand National and a link to this here show. I hope you enjoy Aintree, Ruby.
You too, Lydia. We'll see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone at home, I hope you enjoy Aintree. We'll be back to preview Punchestown later this month. But for now, goodbye.